miserable old age and helpless infancy. The number of really poor people grew in 18th century America, and, as now, the most distressed segment of the population was single women with children. In the colonists' case, they were mainly widows, whose numbers had exploded as a result of the British wars against the French in North America. In 1742, there were 1,200 widows in Boston alone, nearly a third of all the women in the town who had ever been married. Those with young children tried to stay afloat by taking in piecework, wet-nursing other women's babies, or doing laundry in their homes. Those with older children often bound them out, or placed their daughters in domestic service. Widows who inherited establishments from their husbands sometimes did very well. They ran taverns and stores and printing shops, a business that for some reason seemed particularly well suited to colonial women's talents. But any female who worked for wages was poor. The maximum weekly rate paid for women in domestic service in New England, around the time of the Revolution, was the same as the maximum daily rate for male farm laborers. Even women who worked as tailors, one of the few crafts open to them, made only about a third of what men made. Some colonies had a rough welfare system, but it was very unpleasant. In parts of Pennsylvania, a woman on the dole had to wear a red P, for pauper, on her upper sleeve, along with the first letter of the county providing the support. Massachusetts established almshouses for the indigent, but only the most pathetic and infirm were willing to be institutionalized in return for bread-and-water diets and employment at the looms. Judith Stevens, who visited an almshouse in 1775, was shocked by what she saw. The